Tao means how things happen, how things work. Tao is the single principle underlying all creation. Tao is God. Tao cannot be defined because it applies to everything. You cannot define something in terms of itself. Tao is a principle, creation is a process. That is all there is, principle and process, how and what. All creation unfolds according to Tao. There is no other way. Tao cannot be defined, but Tao can be known. The method is meditation, or being aware of what is happening. To become aware of what is happening, you must pay attention with an open mind. You must set aside your personal prejudices. Prejudiced people see only what fits those prejudices. The method of meditation works because principle and process are inseparable. All process reveals the underlying principle. This means that you can know Tao. You can know God. By knowing Tao, you know how things happen. All behavior consists of opposites or polarities. If you do anything more and more, its polarity will appear. For example, striving to be beautiful makes a person ugly, and trying too hard to be kind is a form of selfishness. Any overdetermined behavior produces its opposite. An obsession with living suggests worry about dying. True simplicity is not easy. The braggart probably feels small and insecure. The wise leader does not push to make things happen, but allows process to unfold of its own. The leader teaches by example rather than by lecturing others on how they ought to be. The leader does not insist that things come out in a certain way. The wise leader does not seek a lot of money or a lot of praise. Nevertheless, there is plenty of both. The wise leader does not make a show of holiness or pass out grades for good performance. That would create a climate of success and failure. Emphasizing material success yields the same results. Those who have a lot become greedy, and those who have little become thieves. When you reinforce appearances, people scramble to please. The wise leader pays respectful attention to all behavior. Thus, the group becomes open to more and more kinds of behavior. People learn a great deal when they're open to everything, and not just figuring out what pleases the teacher. The leader shows that style is no substitute for substance, and that creating an impression is not as potent as acting from your center. No matter how deep you dig, you'll never come to a thing called Tao or God. Tao is not a thing. Tao is a principle or law. Tao means how. All things behave according to Tao, but Tao does not behave. Tao is never an object or a process. Tao is the law of all things, of all events. Tao is the common ground of all creation. Natural law is blind, and its justice is even-handed. The consequences of your behavior are inescapable. Being human is no excuse. The wise leader doesn't try to protect people from themselves. The light of awareness shines equally on what is pleasant and on what is not pleasant. People are not better than the rest of creation. The same principle which underlies human beings underlies everything equally. Neither is one person or one people better than the rest of humanity. The same principle is everywhere. One person is as worthy as the next. The leader knows this and does not pretend to be special. The leader doesn't gossip about others or waste breath arguing the merits of competing theories. Silence is a great source of strength. Can you learn to become open and receptive, quiet and without desires or the need to do something? Being open and receptive is called yin, the feminine, or the valley. Imagine that there is a pond in this valley. When no fears or desires stir the surface of the pond, the water forms a perfect mirror. In this mirror, you can see the reflection of Tao. You can see God, and you can see creation. Go into the valley, be still, and watch the pond. Go as often as you wish, your silence will grow, the pond will never run dry. True self-interest teaches selflessness. Heaven and earth endure because they are not simply selfish, but exist on behalf of all creation. Knowing this, the wise leader keeps egocentricity in check and becomes even more effective. The leader grows more and lasts longer by placing the well-being of the group above the well-being of the self. Here is a paradox. By being selfless, the leader enhances the self. The wise leader is like water. Consider water. Water cleanses and refreshes all creatures without distinction and without judgment. Water freely and endlessly goes deep beneath the surface of things. Water is fluid and responsive. Now consider the leader. The leader works in any setting without complaint, with any person or issue that comes on the floor. The leader acts so that everyone will benefit and serves well, regardless of the rate of pay. The leader speaks simply and honestly and intervenes in order to shed light and create harmony. Like water, the leader is yielding. Because the leader does not push, the group does not resent or resist. A good group is better than a spectacular group. When leaders become superstars, the teacher outshines the teaching. The wise leader settles for good work and then lets others have the floor. The leader doesn't take all the credit for what happens and has no need for fame. Pay attention to silence. What is happening when nothing is happening in a group? That is the group field. 13 people sit in a circle, but it's the spirit in the center of the circle where nothing is happening that determines the nature of the group field. The silences and empty spaces reveal the group's essential mood, the context for everything that happens. This is the group field. Learn to see emptiness. It's the same with a vase or a pot. Learn to see the emptiness inside, which is the usefulness of it. Endless drama in a group clouds consciousness. Too much noise overwhelms the senses. Continual input obscures genuine insight. Do not substitute sensationalism for learning. Allow regular time for silent reflection. Let the senses rest and grow still. Teach people to let go of their superficial mental chatter and obsessions. Teach people to pay attention to the whole body's reaction to a situation. If you measure success in terms of praise and criticism, your anxiety will be endless. Having a good reputation or becoming well known for your work can be a hindrance to your further development. Fame is as burdensome as caring for yourself properly. What is the problem with praise and criticism? If the group applauds one thing you do and then you feel good, you'll worry if they don't applaud as loudly the next time. If they're critical, you'll feel hurt. Either way, you're anxious and dependent. How can a good reputation be a hindrance? A good reputation naturally arises from doing good work. But if you try to preserve your reputation, you lose the freedom and honesty necessary for further development. How is fame like caring for yourself? In order to do good work, you must take good care of yourself. You must value yourself and allow others to value you. But if you make too much of yourself, you will become egocentric. Egocentricity injures both self and work. If you can live with the fruits of success and care for yourself properly, you will be able to foster success in other people. When you can't see what's happening in a group, don't stare harder. Relax and look gently with your inner eye. When you don't understand what a person is saying, don't grasp for every word. Become silent inside and listen with your deepest self. When you are puzzled by what you see or hear, don't strive to figure things out. Stand back and become calm. When a person is calm, complex events appear simple. To know what is happening, be aware. See without staring. Listen quietly rather than listen hard. Use intuition and reflection rather than try to figure things out. The more you can let go of trying and the more open and receptive you become, the more easily you will know what is happening. Also, stay in the present. The present is good. Reflect be still, ask yourself, what do I deeply feel? Trying too hard produces unexpected results. The flashy leader lacks stability. Trying to rush matters gets you nowhere. Trying to appear brilliant is not enlightened. Insecure leaders try to promote themselves. Impotent leaders capitalize on their positions. It isn't very holy to point out how holy you are. All these behaviors come from insecurity. They feed insecurity. None of them helps the work. None of them contributes to the leader's health. Any form of egocentricity or of selfishness obscures your deeper self and blinds you to how things happen. The leader who knows how things happen doesn't do these things. This is what Tao is not. It is not a thing, it is not a sound or any other vibration. It is not divisible into parts, it does not change, it cannot be diluted or augmented, it has no partner or complement. This is what Tao is. It is one, it is unity, it determines everything, it comes before everything, it is the law of everything. The clearest, most helpful word to use for Tao is how, because Tao is the principle of how everything works. Remember that while it has no form or qualities, it is everywhere, all the time, forever. Being centered means having the ability to recover your balance even in the midst of action. A centered person is not subject to passing whims or sudden excitements. Being grounded means being down to earth, having gravity or weight. If you know where you stand and you know what you stand for, you are grounded. That is ground. The centered and grounded leader has stability and a sense of self. The wise leader's ability does not rest on techniques or gimmicks or set exercises. The method of awareness of process applies to all people and all situations. The leader's personal state of consciousness creates a climate of openness. Center and ground give the leader stability, flexibility, and endurance. Because the leader sees clearly, the leader can shed light on others. The group members need the leader for guidance and facilitation. The leader needs people to serve. If both the group members and the leader don't recognize their mutual need to love and respect one another, they are missing the point. They don't see how things happen. The leader can act as a warrior or as a healer. As a warrior, the leader acts with power and decision. That is the yang or masculine aspect of leadership. But most of the time, the leader acts as a healer and is in an open, receptive, and nourishing state. That is the feminine, or yin, aspect of leadership. This mixture of doing and being, of warrior and healer, is both productive and potent. There is a third aspect of leadership, and that is Tao. Periodically, the leader withdraws from the group and returns to silence, returns to God. Being, doing, being, then Tao. The leader withdraws in order to empty the self of what has happened and to replenish the spirit. Too much force will backfire. Constant interventions and instigations will spoil a group. The best group process is delicate. The leader who tries to control the group through force doesn't understand group process. Force will cost you the support of the group's members. Leaders who push think that they're facilitating process, when in fact they're blocking process. They think that their constant interventions are a measure of ability, when in fact such interventions are crude and inappropriate. The wise leader stays centered and grounded and uses the least force required to act effectively. The leader avoids egocentricity and emphasizes being rather than doing. The leader who understands how process unfolds uses as little force as possible and runs the group without pressuring people. When force is applied, conflict and argument follow. The group field degenerates. The climate is hostile and is neither open nor nourishing. The wise leader runs the group without fighting to have things a certain way. The leader's touch is light. The leader neither defends nor attacks. Remember that consciousness and not selfishness is both the means of teaching and the teaching itself. Group members will challenge the ego of someone who leads egocentrically, but the person who leads selflessly and harmoniously will grow and endure. There are times when it seems as if you must intervene powerfully, suddenly, and even harshly. The wise leader does this only when all else fails. As a rule, the leader feels more wholesome when the group process is flowing freely and unfolding naturally. Harsh interventions are a warning that the leader may be uncentered or have an emotional attachment to whatever is happening. Even if harsh interventions succeed brilliantly, there is no cause for celebration. There has been injury. Someone's process has been violated. Later on, the person whose process has been violated may well become less open, more defended. There will be a deeper resistance and possibly resentment. Making people do what you think they ought to do does not lead toward clarity and consciousness. While they may do what you tell them to do at the time, they will cringe inwardly, grow confused, and plot revenge. Such a victory is actually a failure. The single principle of Tao can be found everywhere, all the time. Everything works according to it. Every life unfolds according to it. Its greatness lies in its universality. It is all-inclusive. The wise leader follows this principle and doesn't act selfishly. The wise leader doesn't accept one person and refuse to work with another. The wise leader doesn't own people or control their lives. Leadership is not a matter of winning. All behaviors contain their opposites. Hyperinflation leads to collapse. A show of strength suggests insecurity. What goes up must come down. If you want to prosper, be generous. And the feminine outlasts the masculine. The feminine allows, but the masculine causes. The feminine surrenders, then encompasses and wins. Learn to see things backwards, inside out, and upside down. Natural events are potent because they act in accordance with how things work. They simply are. Study natural processes. The light in the sky, the gravity of Earth, the unfolding of your own ideas and insights, the emptiness of space, the fullness of life, and the behavior of saints. Imagine what would happen if these processes were neurotic and self-centered. Gravity varies from moment to moment. Your mind is irrational. Space is agitated. A lazy sky flickers. Life is abortive. The saints are worthless models. Nothing works. The wise leader knows better than to be neurotic and self-centered. Potency comes from knowing what is happening and acting accordingly. Paradoxically, freedom comes from obedience to the natural order. Since all creation is a whole, separateness is an illusion. Like it or not, we are team players. Power comes through cooperation, independence through service, and a greater self through selflessness. The wise leader learns how things happen and lives accordingly. The average leader also learns how things happen, but vacillates, sometimes acting accordingly and then forgetting. The worst leaders learn how things happen and dismiss the single principle as nonsense. After all, they say, any principle that does not get you love or money or power must be useless. Selflessness is no way to get ahead. Virtue is for fools. Kindness is weakness. And so on. This is a problem. People who do not see how things happen naturally think that the wise leader's behavior has no basis in reality. Also, the leader's silence and manner of being are disturbing. Because the leader's motives are obscure, the leader is hard to figure out. It isn't easy to understand a person whose foundation is invisible. If gentle interventions are clear, they overcome rigid resistances. If gentleness fails, try yielding or stepping back altogether. When the leader yields, resistances relax. Generally speaking, the leader's consciousness sheds more light on what is happening than any number of interventions or explanations. Few leaders realize how much little will do. Are you doing this work to facilitate growth or to become famous? Which is more important, acquiring more possessions or becoming more conscious? Which works better, getting or letting go? There's a problem with owning a lot. There's a problem with getting more and more. The more you have and the more you get, the more you have to look after, and the more you might lose. Is that owning or being owned? But if you give up things, you can give up spending your life looking after them. The wise leader doesn't impose a personal agenda or value system on the group. The leader follows the group's lead and is open to whatever emerges. The leader judges no one. Being open and attentive is more effective than being judgmental. This is because people naturally tend to be good and truthful when they're being received in a good and truthful manner. Perhaps the leader seems naive and childlike in this uncritical openness to whatever emerges. But openness is simply more potent than any system of judgments that's ever been devised. Existence consists of both life and death. Favoring either life or death denies existence and creates tension. Tension causes people to make mistakes in critical situations. Mistakes are far more deadly than existence itself. 30% of the people love life and fear death. Another 30% prefer death and avoid life. Still another 30% fear both life and death. So, 90% of the people suffer the tension that comes from ignorance of how polarities work. Even though life and death are opposites, they are inseparable. Preferences are futile. Only 10% of all people have the wisdom to accept both life and death as facts and simply enjoy the dance of existence. After all, growth and decay are everywhere, all the time. The wise leader knows that everything comes and goes, so why grasp or cling? Why worry or cringe? Why live in a fantasy of what might happen? The wise leader leads a quiet and meditative life, but most people are busy getting as many possessions as they can. The quiet path leads toward a more conscious existence. The busy path creates an exaggerated materialism. Becoming more conscious leads toward God and a sense of the unity of all creation. But excessive consumption is only possible by exploiting someone. The world's goods are unevenly distributed. Some have a great deal, most have very little. We are running out of enough resources to go around. Everyone knows that. Yet those who are already encumbered by possessions get more and more possessions. They even brag about how much they have. Owning a lot of possessions does not come from God. People get possessions by manipulating other people. Do you want to be a positive influence in the world? First, get your own life in order. Ground yourself in the single principle so that your behavior is wholesome and effective. If you do that, you'll earn respect and become a powerful influence. If your life works, you influence your family. If your family works, your family influences the community. If the community works, your community influences the nation. If your nation works, your nation influences the world. If your world works, the ripple effect spreads throughout the cosmos. Remember that your influence begins with you and ripples outward. So be sure that your influence is both potent and wholesome. All growth spreads outward from a fertile and potent nucleus. You are that nucleus. People who surrender all their blocks and conflicts experience a free flow of vital energy. They look as radiant as children, and they enjoy a childlike immunity to injury. Their bodies seem relaxed and pliant, and their stamina and strength are remarkable. They are sexually attractive without being overtly erotic. They can sing or even yell for a long time and never get hoarse. It is as if they were newly in love, not with one person, but with all creation, and their energies are as abundant as all creation. It is a mistake to confuse excitement or arousal with the vital flow of enlightenment. Stimulants and emotional adventures arouse people, but such arousal does not enhance their energies. On the contrary, excitement expends energy and exhausts vitality. Think of excitement as the tension that comes when stimulation meets resistance. The exciting experience ends when the stimulation stops or when a person wears out. Think of the vitality of enlightenment as a continuous flow. It meets no resistance and goes on and on without stress. Excitement is rooted in passing desires. Vital energy springs from the eternal. The wise leader knows that the true nature of events cannot be captured in words. But what cannot be said can be demonstrated. You can be silent. You can be conscious. Consciousness works. It sheds light on what is happening. It clarifies conflicts and harmonizes the agitated individual or group field. The leader also knows that all existence is a single whole. Therefore, the leader is a neutral observer who takes no sides. The leader cannot be seduced by offers or threats. Money or love or fame, whether gained or lost, do not sway the leader from center. Your job is to facilitate and illuminate what is happening. Interfere as little as possible. Interference creates a dependency on the leader. The fewer rules you impose, the better off the group will be. Rules reduce freedom and responsibility. Enforcement of rules is coercive, manipulative, and diminishes group spontaneity. The more coercive you are, the more resistant the group will become. Your manipulations will only breed evasions. Every law creates an outlaw. This is no way to run a group. The wise leader establishes a clear and wholesome climate in the group room. In the light of awareness, the group naturally acts in a wholesome manner. When the leader practices silence, the group remains focused. When the leader doesn't impose rules, the group discovers its own goodness. When the leader acts unselfishly, the group simply does what is to be done. Good leadership consists of doing less and being more. Group process evolves naturally. It is self-regulating. Do not interfere. It will work itself out. Efforts to control the group process usually fail. Either they block process or make it chaotic. Learn to trust what's happening. If there is silence, let it grow. Something will emerge. If there is a storm, let it rage. It will resolve into calm. If the group is discontented, you can't make it happy. Even if you could, your efforts might well deprive the group of a very creative struggle. The wise leader knows how to facilitate the unfolding group process because the leader is also a process. The group's process and the leader's process unfold in the same way, according to the same principle. For example, facilitating what is happening is more potent than pushing for what you wish were happening. Demonstrating or modeling behaviors is more potent than imposing morality. Unbiased positions are stronger than prejudice. Radiance encourages people, but outshining everyone else inhibits them. Run the group delicately, as if you were cooking small fish. Allow the group process to emerge naturally. Resist any temptation to instigate issues or elicit emotions which haven't appeared on their own. If you stir things up, you'll release forces before their time and under unwarranted pressure. They may be emotions that belong to other people or places. They may be unspecific or chaotic energies which strike out in response to your pressure and hit any available target. When hidden issues and emotions emerge naturally, they resolve themselves naturally. They aren't harmful. In fact, they're no different from any other thoughts or feelings. All energies naturally arise, take form, grow strong, come to a new resolution, and finally pass away. It's a mistake to believe that a great leader is above others. Greatness comes from knowing how to be lowly and empty and receptive and of service. The wise leader's role is about service, being receptive, yielding, and following. The group member's vibration dominates and leads while the leader follows. But soon it is the member's consciousness which is transformed, the member's vibration which is resolved. The relationship is reciprocal. It is the job of the leader to be aware of the group member's process. It is the need of the group member to be received and paid attention to. The wise leader knows how to act effectively. To act effectively, be aware and unbiased. If you're aware, you'll know what is happening. You won't act rashly. If you're unbiased, you can react in a balanced and centered manner. Have respect for every person and every issue directed at you. Don't dismiss any encounter as insignificant. But neither should you become anxious or afraid of being overwhelmed or embarrassed. If you're attacked or criticized, react in a way that will shed light on the event. This is a matter of being centered and of knowing that an encounter is a dance and not a threat to your ego or existence. Tell the truth. Neither avoid nor seek encounters, but be open. When an encounter arises, respond to it while it's still manageable. There's no virtue in delaying until heroic action is needed to set things right. If you haven't bragged about your abilities or tried to make people be the way you think they ought to be, very few group members will want to encounter you anyway. Learn to recognize beginnings. The wise leader sees things almost before they happen. A tree that is stiff and rigid begins as a pliant sapling. A great construction project begins with one shovelful of earth. Once an event is fully energized and formed, stand back as much as possible. Needless interventions will block what's happening. Do not try to make an event conform to any predetermined plan or model. Many leaders spoil the work just as it nears completion. They get eager. They get invested in certain outcomes. They become anxious and make mistakes. This is a time for care and consciousness. Do not do too much. Do not be too helpful. Don't worry about getting credit for having done something. Because the wise leader has no expectations, no outcome can be called a failure. Paying attention, allowing a natural unfolding, and standing back most of the time, the leader sees the event arrive at a satisfactory conclusion. The ability to distinguish between theory and practice will save you a great deal of trouble. People who see the world in terms of theories often have an intricate view of what is happening. Clarity is difficult for them. They're very hard to work with. If you teach a group by making complex explanations, you'll confuse people. They'll take notes and fill their minds with opinions. But if you return again and again to an awareness of what is actually happening, you will both clarify and enlighten the group. Practice a way of life that is in accordance with the single principle. Demonstrate conscious cooperation with the single principle. If you cooperate with Tao, you will experience the power of universal harmony. Here's a paradox. Even though the single principle of how everything happens is great, those that follow the principle know that they are ordinary. Great egocentricity does not make a person great. The common ground of all creation is a greater source of life than any exalted isolation. These three qualities are invaluable in a leader. 1. Compassion for all creatures. 2. Material simplicity or frugality. And 3. A sense of equality or modesty. When you are compassionate, you act on behalf of everyone's right to life. A sense of equality is your true greatness. It's a mistake to consider a person caring or courageous whose only interest is self-interest. It's a mistake to rationalize that excessive consumption contributes to the well-being of others by giving them employment. It's a mistake to imagine that a person who acts in a superior way is a superior person. These are all egocentric behaviors. They isolate a person from the common ground of existence. They produce rigidity and death. On the other hand, compassion, sharing, and equality sustain life. This is because we are all one. When you care for someone, you enhance the harmonious energy of the whole. And that is life. If a group member wants to fight with you, consider the strategy of the guerrilla commander. Never seek a fight. If a fight comes to you, yield and step back. It's far better to step back than to overstep yourself. Your strength is good intelligence. Be aware of what is happening. Your weapon isn't a weapon at all, but the light of consciousness. Advance only where you encounter no resistance. If you make a point, don't cling to it. If you win, be gracious. The person who initiates the attack is off-center and easily thrown. Even so, have respect for any attacker. Never surrender your compassion or use your skill to harm another person needlessly. In any event, the more conscious force will win. Nobody has all the answers. Knowing that you don't know everything is far wiser than thinking that you know a lot when you really don't. Phony expertise is neurotic. Every leader has probably tried this form of pretense at one time or another. Fortunately, the cure is easy once the symptoms are recognized. Stop it. The wise leader has learned how painful it is to fake knowledge. Anyway, it's a relief to be able to say, I don't know. Group work must include spiritual awareness if it's to touch the existential anxiety of our times. Without awe, the awful remains unspoken, and a diffuse malaise remains. Be willing to speak of traditional religion, no matter how offended some group members may be. The great force of our spiritual roots lies in tradition, whether we like it or not. The wise leader exhibits spiritual behavior and lives in harmony with spiritual values. There is a way of knowing that is higher than reason. There is a self greater than egocentricity. The leader demonstrates the power of selflessness and the unity of all creation. At birth, a person is flexible and flowing. At death, a person becomes rigid and blocked. Consider the lives of plants and trees. During their time of greatest growth, they are relatively tender and pliant. But when they're full grown or begin to die, they become tough and brittle. The tree which has grown up and become rigid is cut into lumber. The rigid group leader may be able to lead repetitious and structured exercises, but cannot cope with lively group process. Whatever is flexible and flowing will tend to grow. Whatever is rigid and blocked will atrophy and die. Natural events are cyclical, always changing from one extreme toward an opposite. Imagine a bow and arrow. As the archer draws the bow, the two tips of the bow come closer together. The narrow space between string and wood becomes wide, and the bowstring, which was at rest, becomes taut. When the archer releases the arrow, the process reverses itself as the tension relaxes. That is the way of nature, to relax what is tense, to fill what is empty, to reduce what is overflowing. But a society based on materialism and the conquest of nature works to overcome these cycles. If having some is good, having more must be better, and an absolute glut seems best of all. At the same time, those who have little get even less. The wise leader follows the natural order of events and does not take the consumer society for a model. The leader's behavior works because it's based on an understanding of opposites and cycles. It is more important to tell the simple truth than it is to say things that sound good. The group isn't a contest of eloquence. It's more important to act on behalf of everyone than it is to win arguments. The group isn't a debating society. It's more important to react wisely to what is happening than to be able to explain everything in terms of certain theories. The group isn't a final examination for a college course. The wise leader isn't collecting a string of successes. The wise leader is helping others to find their own successes. There are plenty to go around. Sharing success with others is very successful. The single principle behind all creation teaches us that true benefit blesses everyone and diminishes no one. The wise leader knows that the reward for doing the work arises naturally out of the work. If you want to be free, learn to live simply. Use what you have and be content where you are. Quit trying to solve your problems by moving to another place or by changing mates or careers. Leave your car in the garage. If you have a gun, lock it away. Sell that computer and go back to using pencil and paper. Rather than read every new book that comes along, reread the classics. Eat food grown locally. Wear simple, durable clothing. Keep a small home, uncluttered and easy to clean. Keep an open calendar with periods of uncommitted time. Have a spiritual practice and let family customs grow. Of course, the world is full of novelty and adventures. New opportunities come along every day. So what? Tao means how. How things happen. How things work. Tao is the single principle underlying all creation. Tao is God. Tao cannot be defined because it applies to everything. You cannot define something in terms of itself. Tao is a principle. Creation is a process. That is all there is. Principle and process. How and what. All creation unfolds according to Tao. There is no other way. Tao cannot be defined, but Tao can be known. The method is meditation, or being aware of what is happening. To become aware of what is happening, you must pay attention with an open mind. You must set aside your personal prejudices. Prejudiced people see only what fits those prejudices. The method of meditation works because principle and process are inseparable. All process reveals the underlying principle. This means that you can know Tao. You can know God. By knowing Tao, you know how things happen.